What's happening locally? The news.
And it is that time on this morning's program to take our Tuesday look, some of those things relevant to us here in the Republic of Panama. The Ministry of Health reported on Monday 8 deaths caused by COVID-19 and updated 2 from previous dates, giving a cumulative total now of 8,029 deaths. Regarding the new infections, it came to be known through the epidemiological report that 481 new cases registered in the last 24 hours. To register these new cases, 4,505 tests were applied, returning a positivity of 10.7%. There are 9,882 active cases, of which 9,587 are in the home isolation and 295 hospitalised. Those in isolation are divided into 9,535 at home and 52 in the so-called hospital hotels. Those hospitalised, we have 234 patients in the wards and 61 patients in the intensive care units. A special team of prosecutors attached to the Attorney General's office was formed to carry out investigations related to a complaint filed about possible non-consensual sterilisation procedures for Indigenous women. Since the early hours of this Monday, the special team has been in the province of Bocas del Toro, from where these complaints came, reported the public ministry. The investigation was initiated by a complaint filed on the 17th of February by Deputy Kyra Harding. Recently, a dozen Panamanian Indigenous women denounced that they were sterilised without their consent in a public hospital, a fact that is also being investigated by the Ministry of Health. Alternate Deputy Walakira Chandler explained that the complaints were made to a legislative delegation of which she was a member during a visit to the Indigenous community of Chatgolapava, a difficult-to-reach mountainous area located in Bocas del Toro. The Board of Directors of the National Secretariat for Science, Technology and Innovation, CINESIT, unanimously approved the creation of the Regional Centre for Innovation in Vaccines and Biopharmaceuticals. This is in order to provide the country and the region with the capacity to research, develop and manufacture vaccines and monoclonal antibodies required to face health emergencies. The project, which is divided into phases, has a total estimated cost of $100 million, and its funds have been in process since last year, when in June of 2021, the National Assembly approved CINESIT an extraordinary credit of $2.5 million to begin the process of creation. Eduardo Ortega Barria, National Secretary of Science, Technology and Innovation, stated that this research centre will guarantee the preparation and rapid response against pathogens. He added that the geographical scope of this centre will be Central America and the Caribbean, a region with the exception of Cuba, does not have academic or industrial institutions focused on research and development of vaccines. The initiative arose in the midst of the COVID-19 disease pandemic, which showed Panama need to develop vaccines and biopharmaceuticals so as not to depend only on large production companies, as is currently the case. Ortega Barria explained that the plan outlined is to have the personal infrastructure and equipment between 2022 and 23. This would be the first phase of the project. The second phase of the project corresponds to the construction of a pilot vaccine production plant for phase 1 and 2 clinical research studies. And with the national production capacity of vaccines, monoclonal and antibodies for other biopharmaceuticals, this phase has an estimated opening date in 2024. The third and final phase would be the construction of a low-volume vaccine and biopharmaceutical manufacturing plant, around 30 million doses for the region, according to a feasibility study. The promising project has the support of the City of Knowledge Foundation, the Gorgas Memorial Institute for Health Studies, and academic partners such as the Texas A&M University Health Science Center and the Korea International Vaccines Institute. A criminal complaint for the alleged commission of different crimes was filed this Monday in the dispute between the Mexican goldsmith and businessman José Luis Penagos Hernández, deceased, and the one who had been his lawyer since 2013, the current PRD deputy, Zulay Rodriguez Lu. As will be recalled, Penagos Hernandez accused Rodriguez of having stripped him of 66 gross kilos of gold, according to official documents from his property, seized by the Customs Directorate when it was in transit to Colombia in March of 2009. On Monday morning, relatives of the deceased Mexican businessman went to the Attorney General's office to claim the gold that, as they insist, is his property. Diana Clemencia Rios Cardona reported that her husband was murdered on February the 4th of 2021 and presented said death certificate to the media. The widow was accompanied by David Penagos, son of the businessman, who said that the claim is for about 65 kilos of gold, value at about $4 million. According to the complaint, said legal action is against the lawyer Rafael Augusto Arus Canto, Rodriguez Lu's partner, Alvaro Ernesto Testa, husband of the pro-government deputy, among other people. In the brief presented by David Penagos, the son of the deceased Mexican businessman, it is indicated that there are sufficient elements of conviction to also initiate a criminal investigation against Deputy Rodriguez Lu. For this reason, Penagos requests that once the investigations against the defendants are delimited, the pertinent documents be forwarded to the Supreme Court of Justice, which is responsible for the investigations against the country's deputies. The criminal complaint filed this Monday before the Attorney General's office is for the alleged commission of crimes against economic assets in its form of theft with abuse of trust as a result of the provision of services against economic assets, in its form of money laundering crimes, crimes against collective security, in its form of illicit association to commit crimes and against the administration of justice, in its form of prevarication. The persons Rafael Augusto Arus Canto and Zulay Rodriguez Lu used in a fraudulent and illicit manner the power that was granted to them by my father, José Luis Penagos Hernandez, in order to simulate a non-existent professional fee debt, creating private agreements, according to the complaint. In the complaint, the son of the Mexican stated that his father knew that the gold he owned had been received by Arus Canto, Rodriguez Lu and Testa on the 21st of September of 2018 at the National Customs Authority in the airport area, and that there was a refusal to deliver the part that corresponded to him after the cancellation of the professional fees for legal services had been agreed upon. Some background. Well, on the 9th of March in 2009, Penagos Hernandez was arrested in the transit zone of the Tocumen International Airport in possession of 35 kilos of gold that the Customs Directorate seized, alleging that they had not been declared. Penagos Hernandez was travelling accompanied by a goldsmith colleague, Venezuelan José Felipe Mendoza, from whom Customs also seized at least another 31 kilos of gold, both had in total just over 66 net kilos. Penagos Hernandez argued that he did not have to declare the gold since its final destination was not Panama but Colombia. However, everything got complicated after the authorities found traces of methamphetamine in the gold. The Mexican ended up in Pavilion 6 of La Jolla Prison with several open processes against him. He was interned in the prison system until his deportation on the 28th of December of 2009. The complaint makes it clear that Penagos Hernandez had an order preventing him from entering Panama, which is why he was unable to process the return of the gold he owned in person. For this reason, he contracted the services of lawyers Rafael Augusto Alvarez Canto and Rodriguez Lu, to whom he signed power of attorney before the Third Circuit Notary of Panama. The son of the Mexican businessman indicated that among the elements presented to the Panamanian authorities are audios of conversations between his father and Rodriguez. After this, the PRD deputy called a conference where she described what was said by the relatives of the Mexican goldsmith as falsehoods and announced that she would file legal action against them. "I'm going to show that all this is false, that they have taken on a hair-pulling case to falsely involve me," she added. The restrictions in force on the Pacific side of the Panama Canal, so that two Neo-Panamax vessels navigate simultaneously and pass, have led to the Panama Canal Authority to adopt some measures to try to improve the transit of ships in that area. These are the widening and deepening of the entrance to the Interoceanic Highway with an investment of $102.8 million and increasing from 8 to 12 the number of pilots per day in Balboa. For the Chamber of Shipping, these restrictions make Panama less competitive, and in response to this, it has proposed simulation tests of a passing of two Neo-Panamax at the ACP Training Center. A total of 53 companies submitted proposals in the single price tender carried out by the Social Security Fund, the CSS, for the supply, storage, transportation and delivery as needed and as required of medicines and parental nutrition solutions. According to the Panama Compra portal, the tender, which includes 408 lines, has a reference price of $211,574,584. The National Director of Purchases of the CSS, Ana Cuestas, explained that a technical table will be formed made up of specialists in legal and financial matters who will evaluate each of the proposals and will be the ones who determine what is the best value of the proposals for each one of the tendered lines. Among the medicines that are tendered, there are analgesics, anti-inflammatories, anti-arrhythmatics, antidepressants, muscle relaxants, nasal decongestants, vitamins, and diuretics. Cuestas maintained that these medicines are essential for the Panamanian population and stressed that this public act is governed by the provisions of Law 51 of December 2005, which reforms the Organic Law of the Social Security and Law No. 1 of January of 2001 in medicines or of medicines, which manages the public registries and the legal documents by which all the bidders that participate in this tender have to adhere. Through this purchase, the institution seeks to guarantee supply during the 2022-23 financial or fiscal period, indicates the resolution of the CSS Board of Directors for the purchase published in Panama Compra. This public act occurs at a time when the insurer denounced the lack of medicines in the facilities. The National Aqueduct and Sewer Institute, IDAN, reported that it carried out a monitoring plan for the water sources that supply water treatment plants nationwide. To date, visits have been made to the provinces of Colón, Panama, Panama West, and Coclé. Through these evaluations, data is obtained from the rivers that are found in the raw water intakes in the national territory to know the variation of the flows and levels in the dry and rainy season, explained the IDAN through a statement. The IDAN explained that the data extracted from the flows, specific measurements are achieved that can serve as a basis for future improvement projects. In the months of March and April, the entity indicated that it is scheduled to carry out other inspections in the provinces of Veraguas, Los Santos, Herrera, Darien, and Chiriquí. The Cobre Panama project, operated by Minera Panama, a subsidiary of the Canadian First Quantum, generated sales of $3.16 billion during 2021, an increase of 138% compared to 2020. Despite 8% drop in production during the fourth quarter of last year, this was due to maintenance work at the power plant. The results report indicates that Cobre Panama was consolidated as the most profitable project of the Canadian mining company, which on January the 17th accepted the economic proposal of the Panamanian government to increase the royalties received by the state. With this change, the company agrees to pay at least $375 million in the event that the price of a pound of copper collapses in international markets. Additionally, it goes from 2% on gross sales to a 12 or 16% contribution to the state on gross profits. In addition to the royalty adjustment currently paid by the Canadian Mining Company, the new economic scheme includes the payment of 25% income tax, which would be similar to what companies pay in countries like Chile, the world's largest copper producer. Exemptions that the company maintained under the 1997 contract are also eliminated. And that's it. There we go. There's our look for this morning. Quite a bit to get through, but interesting. Some of those things relevant to us here in the Republic of Panama, compiled for you this morning on The Breakfast Show.